All right. We were in the middle of chapter 12. What we learned last week was the story of the background to the division of the kingdom. We're getting ready now for one of the profound, great and deep tragedies to have befallen the Jewish people. The entire kingdom lasted for 33 years during the time of David HaMelech. David HaMelech was king for 40 years, but the first seven he was king in Hebron, because during that period of time he was in the process of establishing himself as king over all of Israel. It is only after 7 years in Hebron, so that means there are 30 years that David is king over all of Israel, and even during that period of time his own son Absalom rebels against him. The kingdom finally passes on to Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech is king for 40 years. Peace, tranquility, but already we see at the end of the life of Shlomo, there are already chinks in the armor of this awesome kingdom. And it is here, after he dies, that his son Rehavam, in distinction to Shlomo HaMelech, who the beginning of his kingdom was marked one after another with wisdom, he takes steps that are intelligent, very for a leader, tremendously intelligent steps. He uses a great deal of wisdom in removing all opposition or all threat to the stability of his kingdom. And then, of course, when God appears to him in Givon and asks him, "What is it that you want, Shlomo? Anything that you want, you can ask for and you can have it." His response is that he wants a lev shomea, a heart that can hear the needs of his people and the wisdom with which to judge them. And for this response, God tells him that you will have not only that, but you're going to have wealth and power and prominence in addition to the wisdom that I will give you. The beginning of his son Rehavam, the beginning of his reign, as we pointed out last week, is marked by gross stupidity one after another. The kind of stupidity that a normally intelligent person should not have fallen into, to such terrible errors. By the way, it may not appear that much here in Malachim, even though we're going to see a little bit of it today. Together with what's said in Malachim and in Divrei Yom, we're going to see that Rehavam was indeed an intelligent individual. He did know how to deal with wisdom. Therefore, there was the one pivotal pasuk, and that's where we'll begin with today. There was the one pivotal pasuk, which was in chapter 12, pasuk 15, when he comes back to the people of Shechem, and he tells them that which was he was advised by the youth, that he should come to them with a tough line and say that my father is the one who beat you with sticks. I'm going to beat you with scorpions. And he tells them he's going to make the yoke even stronger upon them, which really was foolish. It was worse than foolish. It was absolute stupidity. The advice that had been given by the elders was intelligent advice, and as we pointed out last week, it could have been their advice could have been real, or it could have been tactical. They may very well have told him, "Listen, you simply have to accede to their request. You've got to give in. You may not like it. It may be very difficult. It may go against your grain. But if you're going to give in today, and yes, lower taxes, remove a great deal of the yoke that's on the people, they will ultimately serve you." There are, of course, those in Farshim who say that it was all a ploy, because they already knew at the time that you can certainly fool all of the people some of the time. I mean, that's different than today. Today, of course, they believe that they can fool all the people all the time. But all that he thought then was, according to some of the Mepharshim, the wise men, the elders were saying, you can fool them. You can tell them. In other words, it was all tactical. Tell them that you will diminish the load. What is certain is he made a terrible choice. He made mistakes one after another. The mistakes began the moment Rechavam goes to Shechem, travels to Shechem in order to be accepted as king. What do you mean you traveled to Shechem in order to be accepted by Israel? You are a king who is the son of a king. The halacha is that the king of the son of a king automatically becomes king. If anything, they should come pledge allegiance to you in Yerushalayim. What's he doing going to Shechem? Shechem, of course, is a city that we will have to talk a little bit about, because the Gemara says a lot of terrible things happened in Shechem. We're going to see the worst of them all is going to happen now. The kingdom is going to be split in Shechem. What else happened in Shechem? B'Shechem, Machru et Yosef, the brothers sold Yosef. B'Shechem inu es Dina. Shechem, that's where Dina was. The rape of Dina, the sale of Yosef by his brothers, and ultimately the splitting of the kingdom, Klal Yisrael divided, happens in Shechem. But we'll talk more about that Shechem. Shechem is an extremely, extremely important city in Jewish thought. The pivotal pasuk is pasuk 15 in chapter 12. V'lo shama hamelech al ha'am, the king didn't listen to the people, ki haita siba me'im Hashem. The fact that he acts with stupidity is because this is what God wanted. There was reason from God, leman hakim es devaro, in order to establish the words, asher diber Hashem biyad achia shilone yiravam benavad. In order that the words of God that had been communicated by Achia Hashiloni, the Navi, to Yerovam ben Nevat, that God is going to give him 10 of the tribes, and he's going to be king over them, that has to be fulfilled. And therefore, if the means by which to fulfill it, the way in which it's going to happen, is the stupidity of Rechavam, and that's exactly what happened. Vayar kol Yisrael, and all of Israel saw, ki lo shama ha-melech aleim, that the king didn't listen to them. The people answered the king so, saying, "Malonu chelik b'David, what portion do we have in David? V'lo nachal other than Yishai, we have no heritage, we have nothing to do with the son of Yishai." And this always in Tanakh, when you don't mention somebody by name, you just call him by his father's name. This is, of course, an indication of
no confidence, though.
No confidence or disdain, that was the word. It was disdain by virtue of the fact that because they should have, David or Rechavam, they don't even want to mention his name. Just, of course, as we had pointed out earlier, and we're going to see it today as well, the use of the word Zeh, Ha'am Hazeh. The word Zeh usually represents the idea of disdain and rejection. It. Like, you don't even want to say what it is. Anyway. Huh? Yeah, nobody. They have. You're right. So they have completely rejected the house of David. Therefore, lo ohalech o Yisrael, go to your tents, Israel. Ato re'ed beit ha David. Now, David, take care of your own house. We are not part of it. Yelech Yisrael lo ohalav, and Yisrael went to their tents. Ubnei Yisrael Hayoshim Bara Yehuda, children of Israel who lived in the cities of Yehuda, Vayimloch Aleim Rechavam, Rechavam became king over them. Here we are talking about the first step in the split of the kingdom. Every time I come to this parak, it's so painful. I mean, it's a great kingdom falls apart. Yes.
Do any of them refer to say that Rechavam had a character flaw, that and it was tyrannical? Why should he raise this house? Beis HaMikdash was already built. What
does
they need all this
money for? So I'll tell you, nobody said that he has a character flaw, even though I had said last week, and of all things, after I said it, I found it in one of the modern Mepharshim. I was afraid last week, a number of times I said that I'm afraid to be an amateur psychologist. and I don't like to foist that on the characters of Tanakh. But I said it's possible that Rehavam might have suffered from the fact that he was the son of such an unusual person, the kind that the world had never seen. Very difficult to step into those shoes. And that was the way in which I explained Rehavam accepting the words of the young people that my pinky finger is wider than the loins of my father. What does his father have to do with the present issue? The issue right now is that the people are calling upon him to lower the taxes. There has to be some kind of a perversion in his mind to now have, make a statement as ugly as that my pinky finger, my kleiner finger, is bigger and wider than my father's whole girth. Why? Because obviously this is what he has on the brain, on the mind. What he's troubled about is he now has to step into the shoes of a king that nobody can step into his shoes. The only reason why we can only take this so far and not further is because from here on, in other words, after this incident, and there's going to be one more incident, he's going to act with great wisdom. So what are we to assume? Is the man smart or isn't he smart? Since he's going to act with a great deal of wisdom, with a tremendous amount of wisdom, and not only that, we're going to see that he does tshuva, he accepts the word of God. It's going to be a different Rehavam after this. And that's exactly why the Pasuk tells us that this stupidity was because of Siva Me'et Hashem. God wanted to bring about the fulfillment of that which he had promised to Yerovam, to Yerovam ben Nevat, which means that in terms of the character flaw, it was really this was the work of God. As a person, he's going to act intelligent. He's going to act intelligent. Except that statement that my finger is bigger than my whole father is obviously a statement that indicates that he has a problem. It is a terrible problem. How does one follow in the footsteps of a Shlomo? And of all things, it will most probably be more difficult for him afterwards to live with himself when in a brief period of time, you know what he has done? He has shattered everything that his father built up during a lifetime. 70 years of work by his father and his Zayda, and he has frittered it away in a matter of a brief few years. A year, 2 years. I don't know how he lives with himself. And despite that, he's going to do great things. He is going to do more construction and fortification and growth and development in Eretz Yisrael than many of the kings before and after. He's going to become a different kind of king, despite the fact that in a brief moment, he threw away everything that David and Shlomo had worked on all of these years. All right, let's go further. Vayishlach HaMelech Rechavam, and here comes the worst stupidity of all. Vayishlach HaMelech Rechavam et Adoram Asher Al Amas, of all things, to pour salt on the wounds, there was a fellow called Adoram. This fellow called Adoram had a number of other names. I mean, I'm talking about real names, not names that people may have called him. He had a number of names. He was Adoniram. He was mentioned amongst the great people of Shlomo. He was mentioned about the leadership in the days of David. He lasted through three kings. But he was identified in the minds of the people. He was the tax collector. He was identified in the minds of the people as the tax collector. Rehavam sends him. Fascinating in the Mefarshim, there are two approaches that are taken by the Mefarshim. Why did Rehavam send him? One opinion in the Mefarshim, of course, is that he sent them, I'll show you, I'm going to collect taxes from you now. That's one approach. That was one approach. That he sent them in order to show them, I'm not afraid of you. This is his show of strength. Josephus says in his Kadmoniyot HaYudim, he says that Rehavam sent Adoram in order to calm the people down. And he sent Abdoram in order to really tell them that, you know, sorry, we're really going to stop lowering the taxes, because he saw already the results of his terrible mistake. He sees that he's rejected, so he's making a last-ditch attempt in order to regain the confidence of the people. He doesn't have an idea how bad things are. And therefore, Vayirgmu kol Yisrael bo evan vayomot, all of Israel, Adoram most probably didn't get a word out, because he came into Shechem and he was stoned to death. Simply, they stoned him to death. From here it seems that all of this is taking place while Rechavam is still in Shechem. He hasn't left Shechem yet. And he sees already there's an intifada that has broken out over here. And it was with all of his strength that he finally got onto his chariot and fled from Shechem to Yerushalayim. Yisrael, the Beis David Arayon Hazeh, and Israel, Yifshu means, it comes from the word Pesha, sinfully they rebelled. The word Pesha is also used as a synonym for the word rebellion, because a Pesha is a sin. There are three words for sin: Chotanu, Avinu, Pashanu. The difference between chet, avon, and pesha, chet is something that a person does unintentionally, made a mistake. Avon, person does it intentionally, but the intention is not a rebellious one. I couldn't help it. Couldn't help it. You know, the Yetzirah got a hold of me and I did it. And I feel bad. I really feel bad. A pesha is something that one does with the intent of being rebellious. I reject this mitzvah. One rejects God's Torah. So therefore, the word pesha is synonymous with the idea of rebelliousness. They rebelled against the house of David ad hayom hazeh, until this day. Now, I don't think we ever talked about it. Ad hayom hazeh, I mean, it always bothered me since I was a child. What does ad hayom hazeh mean? His whole approach. Listen. Aaron did this. And the only ones, most probably he will tell them, the only ones who were destroyed were the ones who saw this as a God. But God forbid, this is not God. We need... He's going to sell it to the people as something very, very from. On the contrary, he wants people to have the opportunity to express themselves religiously. He wants them to have a greater sense of holiness. And therefore he's going to establish holy places. He is also going to establish high places upon which sacrifices are brought. He's going to sell it to the people as something that is not merely legitimate, but he, as a pious and religious person, wants a people that will be religious. He wants all the children to study the Tanakh. He wants them all to know their roots. And everything is going to be rooted in history. That's why he chooses Beit El, and that's why he chooses Dan. Beit El was a place where Avraham and Yaakov brought sacrifices. This is a holy place, Beit El. Ein ze ki im Beit Elokim v'ze shara shamayim Yaakov. He's going to create the atmosphere that whatever he's doing is absolutely religious, and it's from, and it's good, and it's going to bring great blessing to the Jewish people. He's not going to appear before the Jewish people as the great rebel against God. On the contrary, they continue to fulfill Torah mitzvahs, and he pushes Torah mitzvahs. He most probably sets up day schools and kill them. He is going to sell all of this as something of a religious nature that is rooted in Jewish history. And in the absence of Yerushalayim, or for that matter, not only that, he will be able to tell the people that, remember, Shechem and Beit El and Dan were holy places even before Yerushalayim was a holy place. Give me an hour and I'll make up a speech for your Avraham. Half an hour. He's going to sell it all to them. So I know what you're going to be troubled by. can you really fool all the people all the time? And this is going to carry on for about another 150 years. I'm not so sure. I want to learn these psukim with you, see if we find... I'm not sure. I have only one indication I have that the people weren't all fooled. Because at some point, Gemara says, he placed soldiers on the border going into Yehuda. There was Checkpoint Charlie. Why was the Checkpoint Charlie? You know why he did it? Because there were Jews the way the Tate used to say, Geschwatz the Grenitz, there were Jews that were drawn to Yerushalayim and wanted to go to Yerushalayim until he had to develop the makings of a police state. And the Gemara says that for 100 or 150 years, there was a checkpoint. I mean, to imagine it all, I mean, like what they had between East and West Berlin, or what they had across an entire continent, the continent of Europe. It was only in the days of the last king, Hoshea ben Elah, on Tu B'Av, on the 15th day of Av, the checkpoints were removed and Jews were able to cross the border. If he had to set up checkpoints, then you know what it means. Jews were not necessarily, they weren't necessarily buying it. Let just another few psukim and we'll elaborate on Yerovam Yemetz Hashem next week. By the way, does anybody know to what extent is Election Day a legal holiday?
It used to be that nobody worked, but I don't know what it is.
Just, I want to know if we can learn Torah. Isn't it a Wednesday or a Tuesday? What is it?
It's a Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday. All right, we're going to have to check. Anybody can find out. I mean, I wouldn't mind being arrested for learning Torah on Election Day, but, you know, I don't want to really break the law. I don't want to break the law if I don't have to, yeah? All right, we'll check it out. Sarah, you're appointed.
That's what I always do, and the work
okay.
That you do, and I always have.
But then again, if everybody who comes has to promise, if we're going to learn, everybody has to promise not only that they're going to vote, but you're going to have to tell me who you're voting for. All right. Vayas et Beit Bamot. He made a Beit Bamot. Beit Bamot really means a bama is a high place. And this was something that they had for many years. Before the Beit HaMikdash, but now he made Beit Bamot, in other words, places, different houses, and the Bama was in the courtyard or the backyard or the front yard. They would have the Mizbeach. Vayas Kohanim, and he made Kohanim Miktzot Ha'am from the, now this is very Miktzot Ha'am, from the ends of the people. But the Mefarshim say there are two fringes, the lowest level and the highest. You know, you will always find the ones who feel themselves aflaya, how do you say it?
Discriminated.
The ones who feel themselves discriminated against are usually the highest echelons of society and the lowest. The lowest, because they're the lowest. It's easy for them. The highest, because they always feel that they've never received enough recognition. They're the most dangerous ones. The highest levels are the ones that I should be, and I'm not. You know, he took those two parts of society that could be the greatest threat to him. The ones who have nothing to lose, and the ones who haven't gained enough. And he now found a way of giving them jobs, giving them prestige, giving them prominence, giving them importance. So he made them into the Kohanim. Ashalo hayumi bei Levi, and they weren't from the children of Levi. Vayas Yerovam chag b'chodesh hashmini. Yerovam made a yontif on the 8th month, b'chamisha asa yom l'chodesh, on the 15th day of the month. Kechog asher b'Yehuda, like the chag that was in Yehuda, except the one in Yehuda was Sukkos, and that was in the 7th month, and he made it in the 8th month. Vayal ala mizbech, and he went up on the mizbech, and he brought sacrifices, Cain, also the Beit El. That's what he did in Beit El, is abeach la'golam, to bring sacrifices to the calves asher also that he made. And in Beit El he made the there he had the Kohanei Abamot serving. Do you see the repetition of the word Osa? He is in the midst of a frenzy of activity. He's going to do things. He doesn't stop. He's bilti nil'eh. He's indefatigable. He goes from one thing to the next every day, and he keeps everybody off balance because every day he's doing something new. There's a new edict. And in each one, what he's doing is he is satisfying different parts of the population. And he went up on the Mizbeach that he made in Beit El, the 15th day of the 8th month, Bachodesh, Asher Bodomi Libo, the month that he, Bodom means something that he made up, May Libo. Isn't it interesting? The Ksiv, do you know how that word is written? Milvad. Milvad means him alone. I think this proves the point that I made earlier when I said by Yivatz HaMelech that the Melech took counsel. You know who he took counsel with? He took counsel with himself. And even if he asked other people, he had his mind up, made up what he was going to do. The word Asa is repeated time and time again. People who are constantly doing and coming up with something new, they keep everybody off balance. If part of the population wants to respond to the Agolim, all of a sudden they find themselves having to respond to the Kohanim. If they have to respond to the Kohanim, they have to respond now to the Beit Bomos. You keep people off God. And I understood the Pesukim as a result of one of the great masters of that sheet, to keep people off balance. They never know what they have to respond to. I will not mention his name here, but you know who I mean. There's a mad genius involved in that. Vayas Chag L'Vnei Yisrael, Nacham or Vayas, if you'll start counting the number of times. Vayas Chag L'Vnei Yisrael, he made a chag for the children of Israel. Vayal on his back, L'Hakta, and he went on. Alright, the man we have to talk about now is Yerovam, and what makes Yerovam tick. And the whole next chapter, read the story of the next chapter, also going to revolve completely around Yerovam. And in Yetz Hashem, we'll see you next week.